welcome to Slapshot Podcast, episode number 7. I am your host, Chris Ramirez. Thank you once again for joining me on this beautiful Monday morning. Well, it's beautiful where I am. It hasn't started. Well, it snowed a little bit, but it's not snowing presently, so that's nice. I'm really jealous of those of you who live in climates where it doesn't snow or it doesn't get cold. I've had to break out my brush, my snow brush and scraper, because my car windows are starting to get frozen. And it's overall, winter is coming. It's not even coming. It's here. Like, winter has arrived. And it makes me happy because I enjoy winter. I don't enjoy the cold, though. I don't like when it's cold. I like winter, but I like -4, -5 degrees Celsius kind of winter. Like, -25 is not where I'm at. But I'm excited to be doing another episode of the Slapshot Podcast. Today on the menu, we're going to talk about, I call this segment buy, sell, or hold. So we're going to look at, right now I have 3 players that fantasy hockey owners should be buying, 2 fantasy goalies specifically that they should be selling, and 1 player that I'm holding on to right now, or that I'm just not sure if I want to buy or sell just yet. So there's 6 players. We're going to take a look at that. We're also going to talk about, and this is what we're going to lead off with, we're going to talk about Don Cherry, because we have to talk about it. We have to. Not because Don Cherry deserves the platform that he already has, or not because we shouldn't be talking about this, but we're going to do it. Because had he not been himself, we could have continued on with life. Everything would have been fine, but that's not how it goes, because Don likes to sometimes say things that are racist, and there should be no platform for racism in 2019 anymore. But he did say what he did. If you haven't heard it, it's worth taking a listen to, because it's real hard to wrap your mind around this guy still having a platform to talk about the stuff that he talks about. Like, if he wants to talk about hockey, fine. Like talk about what you supposedly know. But for him to say what he did about immigrants and basically calling them you people, which is, like, it's not directly offensive, but it's super offensive. You know, you people, they're Canadian at best. And here's my point of view on this, and you can take it or leave it as you see fit. I know Don was trying to say it from a good, like, from, he wanted to raise awareness for veterans, which we should all do. And a lot of us know what the poppy stands for and why we wear it. And that's important as well, to understand why we wear it. And there are immigrants that are coming to this country who, for whatever reason, they don't know. And that's not their fault, by the way. Like, of the list of shit that they need to do immigrating to a new country or immigrating to Canada, knowing why to wear a poppy is probably not on their list. It's not one of those things, especially if you live in Quebec, where now, you know, the government basically wants to take away all your English services. Like, they got a lot of stuff that they need to worry about. Wearing the poppy is probably not high on their list. So they're not wearing it because they don't care. It's probably because they don't know. So this is the importance of having the awareness and talking about it, and having days like today, November 11th, so we can raise awareness and tell people why they need to wear it. And this does not only apply to immigrants, by the way. Like, there are a mass amount of people who are not immigrants living in Canada or anywhere else that don't wear a poppy. So for him to call out immigrants as saying you people as being the problem why they don't wear it, or as them disrespecting veterans, that's racist. It's bigotry at its best. It's stupid, and it's just a lack of education. Because, like I said, you can walk around the streets now. There are a lot of, you know, Canadians from here, born here, who are not wearing poppies. And the way I see this is, everybody should wear one, But most people, or not, I won't say most people, but there's a large majority of people who won't. And I don't waste my time with people who just don't care. I don't. I don't have time in my life to educate people who just don't want to hear things. And I see this kind of a little bit like voting, right? Everybody should do it. 60% of people do it. So there's about 40% of people who won't get up and vote. I can't imagine they're going to wear a poppy. Or I can't imagine they'll find time to want to buy one or donate a little bit of money. Any of all that stuff. So to me, it's important that they do, but let's be honest. There's a lot of people who are not. And I'm not going to waste my time educating them. I'm not going to waste my time talking about it with them. If you're not wearing one, it's your choice. It's not perfectly fine, but it's your right to not wear one if you don't want to. That's it. That's how I see it. You don't want to wear it, that's fine, man. You want to believe that the earth is flat. You want to believe that, you know, in your religion and whatnot, and there's a whole bunch of things that people believe in. That's not true, right? The United States has a president who believes in all kinds of shit, right? So if you want to believe what you want to believe, or if you don't want to do something, there's probably many reasons why people don't wear a poppy. Most of it is probably just laziness. I can't buy one or what. Like F off, man. They're everywhere. You can find one anywhere you want. And like I said, maybe this is coming up to a point where people are just not getting the education for it. There's a lot of, you know, it was veterans, there are a lot of them. And more and more, you know, there's less education around it. That's what it is. This is a lack of education. This is not people willingly saying, you know what, I'm not wearing a poppy because I don't believe in it. Like, that's not the notion that's coming first thing to them. So again, what Don Cherry said is completely stupid. And should Sportsnet get rid of him and Rogers? Of course. Like, I can't believe that. Like, they've come out and they said, we don't agree with his statement. Fine, fire him. That's what it is. Because if you allow him, if Saturday night comes and you give him a platform, whether you agree with his opinion or not, you're basically telling him, look, man, continue doing what you're doing. We don't agree with it, but we're going to leave you do it. No, stop it. That's it. Hey, Don, look, he's been on TV too long. Everybody knows this. His hot takes are no longer relevant. Most people listen to him just because they want to see what stupid suit he's wearing and what crap's going to come out of his mouth. Well, you know what? He can keep wearing his suits, but get his crap off TV. There's no reason for him to be on TV. None. Just get rid of him. He's done enough. This, to me, should be enough to push Sportsnet over the edge and say, hey, we do not need this. We don't need the negativity that comes around him. He's not selling enough eyes to the TV to warrant this kind of stupidness. Because that's what he is now. He's stupid and he's arrogant and he's a racist. That's what he is. He thought this was coming from a good place, and he does a lot of work with, you know, the military and veterans and bringing awareness and all that. That's fine. Like, he talks about it a lot. So he probably wanted this to come from a good place, but he didn't. Like, it's not on immigrants, man. There's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of people who aren't wearing poppies. A lot of them. And they're Canadian AF. So don't pin this on the immigrants, man. Don't do that. Let's educate all people. Doesn't matter. All Canadians. Everybody should be wearing one. Not everybody will. And let's not pin this on them. Sportsnet, like I said, has to get rid of them. It's Monday. I'm recording this on a Monday. He still has a job on TV on a network that has come out and said, we do not agree. We do not support his statement. Fire him. That's the best way to say we do not support what you are saying. And Ron McLean has come out and he said, I'm sorry. You know, I should have done something I didn't. And look, you can pin this on Ron if you want, all you want. He's the sidekick to Don. It didn't come out of his mouth. So I'm not going to put him in the same boat. He came out and he apologized. He said, hey, I'm sorry. I should have said something. I should have done something. I didn't. And the first step, and you know, Ron was quick to it, and he said, hey, look, I mean, you know, we fucked up. And I'm sorry I didn't do anything. Haven't heard a single word from Don Cherry. Not one. Which is fine. He should probably hide, you know, in the bigot hole that he's from. But it's mind-boggling to me that Sportsnet has just said, they've just thrown out a statement, and it just reeks of PR. That's it. Like, we'll just say we don't agree with it, and we'll continue on with life, and hopefully people will come back and watch us. But that's not how this works. And like I said, it's offensive, man. It's offensive. People, there's so much going around with immigration, and especially, again, maybe you don't live in Quebec like I do, with all kinds of stuff, with language laws and, you know, who can come into the country and this values charts and all. Like, I'm not going to bore you with all that bullshit, but like, everybody is so afraid of immigrants. They're afraid. Like, these people, I get an opportunity in the day job that I do to sometimes cross people from other countries, and they speak so highly of Canada, and they go years through the process, the vetting process, just to get to Canada. Like, some people don't understand what immigrating is to another country. I have no idea. And I tell every person that I meet that says, oh, I'm from another, I immigrated here, you know, whether they're, doesn't matter where they're from, whether it's a developed country or not, I always tell them that I'm impressed and that I think that what they've done is amazing. I can't imagine what it's like taking your whole life, moving it to another country. The whole, like, the process of it. The fact that you get to a new country. Some people come to Canada, they don't even know the language. Or they don't know how it works, or the system is different. And us, instead of trying to help and trying to say, hey, come here and live a better life. That's what these people are sometimes looking for. And it's always that. And I meet people who come here, you know, because they can find a job, or because they want to go to school, or because they know people who are here and they talk about the quality of life. And a lot of people that I meet who come here, it's not, they're not coming here for a year or two and then going back home. They want to stay here. They want to stay in a country where, like, and a lot of times they'll immigrate to Montreal, you talk, you know, Toronto, Vancouver, but there are immigrants who live like in Alberta and Edmonton and Saskatchewan. And if you live in those provinces, you know what winter is like. Like, these people are coming here knowing damn well how miserable winter is, but they're coming here mostly because they love the country. They love what it stands for, the freedom that they have to just be themselves. And us as Canadians, we should be accommodating to these people. I know there's a whole other conversation about how accommodating, but we should want to encourage people to come and live here. This is, to me, Canada is the greatest country in the world. We have a system that is set up that we invite people here. There are so many people who are Canadians, but from so many different backgrounds. And that's what makes Canada so amazing. You can have people from all over the globe. And especially with hockey itself, that's the one thing that I think people have said, that hockey brings people together regardless of your race, religion, or beliefs. Hockey unites people in a same way that religion does, in a certain way, right? So instead of going to church on Sunday, you know, I'll go to my TV Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday mostly, and I'll watch hockey. You know, religions sometimes have uniforms, or they'll have a certain way you dress, whereas, you know, hockey has that team jersey, regardless of which one you choose from. We all, you know, the place of worship, you know, churches, there are many of them. For most of us, it's the NHL rink or a bar or somewhere where we get to group together, and it doesn't matter who we are. If you see, for me, if I see somebody in a Habs jersey, I'm not looking at whether they're black, white, or any other color, you know, male, female, their background. I don't care. We're wearing a Habs jersey, man. We are on the same team. We cheer for the same players. We are together. And sport brings people together in ways that, like I said, it, you don't need, it's a following and it's a place of, it should be a place of safety. And we should want to encourage people to come together via sport, and it doesn't matter who they are or what they've done. Canada is a great place, and immigrants are part of the society that we live in, because our country could not function without immigrants. It can't. It would shut down. And we need to continue to encourage people to come. And we should, you know, continue to encourage not living a Canadian lifestyle, but just give them the opportunity to understand what is it to be a Canadian. And being a Canadian is not, you know, what you believe in. Being a Canadian is always being, you know, kind to one another. Every time I've met a Canadian somewhere, you know, Canadians are nice people. We all know this. People tell me, oh, you're Canadian, you're nice. Like, you don't even know me yet. I could be an asshole. But your first assumption is Canadians are nice people. And that's what we are. That's what being Canadian is about. It's about being nice. You come to a country where your rights are protected. You have the right to, you know, practice your religion in freedom. You have the right to, you know, free healthcare should you get hurt. You have the right to all kinds of, you know, social services and social programs, you know, pay time off when you have a baby, maternity leave for women and men. This is one of the greatest countries ever. I mean, I feel safe in Canada. Like, in no way, I don't worry about, you know, walking on the streets and being shot. Like, I can walk in downtown Montreal and never feel like I'm going to get shot. Or I don't, I mean, I'm a man. I'm assuming this is maybe different for other people, but I feel safe in a country. We have an abundance of land. We have, you know, fresh water and lakes. We have, especially in Quebec, I mean, we have so much electricity, we don't know what to do with it half the time. Like, I am proud to be Canadian at every moment possible. I am proud that people who immigrate to another country constantly choose Canada, because it, to me, it means I, by chance, I was born in the right country. And I am privileged, and I know I am, every day to be a Canadian citizen and to be born in this country. Some people were dealt a different hand just because they were born somewhere else. So if everybody's flocking to live in Canada, there's a reason why. Or the same thing with the United States. If everybody's flocking to these countries to want to live here, there must be something we have. And it's a shame that, you know, one individual who has a national platform said what he did. It's a shame. I feel like they should just pull the plug on him and just the end with it. I don't want to hear Don Cherry talk about what he does. His apology will be half-assed, and he's going to try to spin it in a way that he does. But it's garbage. What he did is wrong. To the people who were offended, I'm sorry that he said that. Because if you're here and you're an immigrant, you're as Canadian as I am. That's it. And like I said, everybody should wear a poppy. They're probably not. If you don't want to, it's your choice. That's fine. You should wear it, but if you don't, what are you going to do? Are they any less Canadian for not wearing a poppy? No. No, they're not. That's what Canada has given them. It's given them the freedom to choose whether they want to do it or not. I don't agree with their stance if they don't want to wear one, but hey, like I said, I don't waste my time trying to educate people who don't want to learn. I'll focus on other people who do want to learn and who do want to see the importance. And that also, for me, starts with, you know, I have the day off today. November 11th is not a nationally recognized holiday. And that itself, I think, is the is offensive as ever. We all get offended, or we do want to thank, you know, the men and women who serve in the armed forces, and we want to thank our veterans. But we can't even give them one day. So that you can, like, it should be a national holiday. Let's get that straight. It should be. And it's way overdue that the government says, hey, November 11th should be a national holiday. This would give people the opportunity to, you know, some people won't, and that's fine. You know, they'll take it as a day off and they'll do something else. But some people have the opportunity to go to, you know, November 11 events and, you know, parades and stuff, and have just an opportunity to learn more about it in a way. But they don't have that opportunity now because, well, it's a regular day. People work. People don't have time to watch the ceremonies that are going on all over the country right now. They don't have the chance because it's a work day. It should be a holiday. I don't understand why it's not. You know, I'm thankful that my employer calls it a holiday and I get paid for it. But it should be a national holiday. Everybody should have the day off so we can take a moment to thank them and at least give people who want to go to these ceremonies, who want to go and learn more and, I don't know, hold activities and stuff and learn more about the culture of it. We should have the day off to at least give people the opportunity to go. The ones who do want to go should be allowed to go. You can't take the day off today and say, well, I want to go to the, you know, the parade that's going off or the vigil that's going on and, you know, pay my respects to the men and women who have died for me. You don't have the opportunity. You can't call in sick for that. So I think it would be an awesome idea if this day was a holiday so that we can observe it and really say thank you to the people who allow all of us to do what we do. I don't think people coming from other countries are oblivious to that. I don't think they are. I think they understand that they're coming here because, you know, the freedoms that we give them, but we have that freedom because other men and women gave us the opportunity to have it. So that's how I feel on this situation. I know other people probably feel the same way. You can disagree with all I say as well. That's fine as well. But I just, I wish Don Cherry never had his platform. And it's sad that he still does, and Sportsnet should take it away. So that's my thought on Don Cherry. Now, more important things to talk about, fantasy hockey. And like I said, we're going to talk about six players in the buy, sell, and hold categories. Let's start with buy. These are players that I'm either going to trade for or I'm going to look to the waiver wire who may be available. Players who I think maybe they don't have a, you know, maybe you don't see them as a permanent player on your fantasy team, but they can become one or are worth, their upside is there. They have an enormous upside and that you should trade for them or at least acquire them somewhere. We're going to start with Ottawa forward Jean-Gabriel Pageau. Okay. Pageau could probably be a Hall of Famer if he played the Montreal Canadiens on a regular basis. So far this season, he has 12 points in 16 games. Okay. He has 8 goals in those 16 games. He's averaging half a goal per game. He's the top line center in Ottawa because they do not have... There's not much in Ottawa going on. And what I like the most about Pageau, like, I don't know if he's going to be able to keep up this pace, okay, because it's a hard pace to keep up, but he's on pace for 61 points, which would be a new career high, okay? 61 points is a lot. Again, can he keep up that pace? I don't know. But Ottawa is the perfect team for him to do it with because nobody's going to challenge him for that top center spot. He's going to play with the best players on his team, right? Ottawa is going to be losing a lot of games. They're going to be playing catch-up hockey a lot. So, I mean, look, he's the guy that you want. And even if he bounces around from the top line or the second line or whatnot, like, I guess like Chris Tierney's going to get his chance as well to center the top line, but there's some decent players on that team. And obviously where you want Pageau to play is with Brady Tkachuk and Anthony Duclair. I think those are the two better players on the team. But Pajot's seeing a lot of ice time. He plays the power play. He plays the penalty kill. He doesn't play the power play. My correction. I don't think he plays the power play. No, he doesn't play the power play. Sorry. But he does. He kills penalties and he sees a whole bunch of ice time. And to me at this point, maybe this is just a quick start for Pageau. Maybe he balances out and he, you know, tamers off. But if you can find him on the waiver wire, a player with 61 point potential deserves to be on your squad. Or if you can maybe trade for him, depending on what you're giving up, that's a player I would target. Straight up. I've owned Jean-Gabriel Pageau in the past. I'm trying to own him this year in one of my leagues. I added him. I dropped him for another player. I have too many centermen, and I was like, maybe I'll come around next week and I'll be able to add him. Somebody else added him. It's fine. But he is a player I would definitely target. I think the upside is there. I tell people a lot, if you read my stuff over at the Fantasy Alarm when I do my waiver wire article, I always talk about volume. Volume players. Players who are going to get an opportunity to either see a lot of ice time or play on the top line or play on the top power play. I want players with a high volume. Jean-Gabriel Pageau was one. So he's a player I'm buying. The second player I'm buying is Robin Leonard. And if you didn't have an opportunity to watch last night's game between Chicago and Toronto, you should at least watch the highlights because Robin Leonard was spectacular. He had over 50 saves. I think he had 53 saves, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm going to confirm that if it was not or true. He had 53 saves. He faced 57 shots. 26 of them came in the third period. Like, the Leafs threw everything at him. Everything. Some teams don't have 26 shots in a game. The Leafs had 26 shots in the third period. And they scored 3 goals, by the way. But, I mean, too little, too late. They were too far behind. Robin Leonard has a 4-3-2 record in 10 games, which is not... it's not amazing. Nobody's writing home and saying, wow, man, Robin Leonard is... I got to own him. But you do. You do. Maybe he's on your waiver. Maybe you're lucky. Maybe you're in a shallower league where he's on your waiver wire. Or maybe you need to trade for him. Because here's the reality of it. He has a 943 save percentage. Okay. Which is the top save percentage of any goalie in the league who has played at least 10 games. He has the best save percentage on a team that gives up the most shots on goal. The Blackhawks give up, on average, 36.8 shots per game. They are a horrendous defensive team. They're garbage. And despite giving up so many shots, his 251 goals against average, again, amongst qualified goalies who have played 10 games, it's the 12th best. And I know where people get a little bit antsy, though, is that he's in a timeshare with Corey Crawford. But at some point, Robin Leonard's going to win. Like, he's going to win that starting job. It should be his. He left the Islanders, who, by the way, if you do not qualify the minimum 10 starts, okay, Thomas Greiss has the best save percentage in the NHL. I think he's played 9 games, so he's one short of qualifying. And then it's Robin Leonard. I know. Shocking. Robin Leonard leaves the Barry Trotz system that's clearly working in Long Island, goes to a team that has no idea how to play defense, apparently, and he's putting up elite numbers. Elite. 943 save percentage is elite in the modern NHL right now. And he should win the starting job over the next couple of weeks. He should. It should not take... if the Chicago Blackhawks want to have an opportunity to make the playoffs, it starts with Robin Leonard. It does. And it's not because Corey Crawford is bad. But Corey Crawford is not the same goalie that he was, right? We agree on that. He's not the same goalie that he was. I don't know. You know, like, he's trending towards the end of his career. Maybe he can be a really good backup goalie. And that means that he could probably play a decent amount of games. He's played 8 games so far this season. His record doesn't show it, but his 327 goals against average, his 905 save percentage, is not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. It's not enough. He hasn't seen as many shots, okay? He has started 8 games, Corey Crawford. He has seen 247 shots. Robin Leonard has started 1 more game than Crawford, 9. Let's go back a little bit. It's Monday for everybody, okay? Corey Crawford has seen 273 shots on goal in his 8 games played. Robin Leonard has seen 350. That is one game difference. Robin Leonard is getting absolutely bombarded when he starts. And his numbers are way better. So at some point, the timeshare that's going on between Leonard and Crawford has to end. Has to. Corey Crawford is not the starter. It has to be Leonard. And if you want to make the playoffs, you're going to give Leonard about 60% of the starts. And Corey Crawford can still play 25 games if you want, or 30. But Robin Leonard needs to start the majority of the games. He needs to. He's the best player. So that being said, if you're like, he's probably not in your waiver, but if you're going to trade for a goalie, that's the one I would target. Because you might get him at a discount right now due to the fact that it's a timeshare, due to the fact that he's playing on a terrible Blackhawks team, and that maybe some owner is just saying, well, maybe I can get a little more. Like, I would straight up trade Ben Bishop for Robert Leonard, one for one. I think he finishes with a better everything, better record, better save percentage, better goals against average than Ben Bishop. And some people had Ben Bishop as the top fantasy hockey goalie. I would make that trade one for one. Because I could be wrong, by the way. We can talk about this in a couple of months. But I believe that Robert Leonard is a good NHL goalie. And he's going to get bombarded. He's going to give up 3 goals a night. But if he's going to make a whole bunch of saves, I will live with the uptick in the goals against average, but with the elite save percentage. Goals against average anyways, stupid stat in fantasy hockey. Save percentage is what you should be targeting. You should be rewarding goalies who stop a lot of pucks. Plain and simple. So I would definitely buy on Robin Leonard, and I would not be shy about it either. The third player I'm buying is Andreas Janssen. And again, if you didn't watch yesterday's game, you should. Janssen had 2 goals last night. He had one goal last night in that game. Which game was it he had 2? I think it was the night. Was it the night before? No, it wasn't. Anyways, forget I exist for a minute. Just wait a minute. I'm just scrolling back. I don't know. Anyways, Andreas Janssen is a player that I'm adding, or I'm buying at least. He's got 11 points in 19 games, which is not a crazy amount of points, right? He's on pace for about 48. So it's not stupid crazy. He's about, depending on how deep your league is, he's a borderline. In shallow leagues, he's probably on the waiver wire. In deeper leagues, he's probably owned, but he's still one of those players that you can probably acquire. Mitch Marner is expected to miss about 4 weeks with his ankle injury. Okay, Zach Hyman is still not back in the lineup. So there is an opportunity here for Janssen to stick in the top 6 for a little bit. And even when Zach Hyman returns, I don't know if he's going to immediately go back to playing with Austin Matthews. I think they might leave the Janssen, Matthews, Nylander line intact, and maybe give John Tavares some support on that second line. So to me, again, Janssen's seeing an uptick in volume, and this is what I want. 11 points in 19 games is average, but I think if he sticks in that top 6, and if he can stick on that top line for a majority of the season, nothing says he can't get 55 points. Nothing says as well that he can probably see top line minutes and maybe power play 1 minutes and be successful. Again, he's on pace for 48. 55 seems possible. I would buy into him for now. I think he's earned the opportunity to play on the top line, and when you're playing with Austin Matthews and William Nylander, good things are going to happen, right? Like, let's not kid ourselves. Good things are going to happen when you're playing with those players. Good things are going to happen when you're playing with John Tavares as well. But I really like just Matthews facilitates everything around him. So for now, there's injuries. The left side as well, I mean, it's not very deep, right? Hyman's not there, and I mean, Trevor Moore is a top six forward right now for the Leafs. So there's a spot for him to stay on that line, whether it's on the top line for now or on the second line once everybody's healthy. But again, once everybody's healthy, I mean, that is a lethal top six. He is part of it. I like it. I like it a lot. And so far right now, right, he is on the top power play unit. So again, there's volume there. I like it. I'm going to buy him. Okay, so those are the three players I'm buying. Okay, Andreas Janssen, Robin Leonard, Jean-Gabriel Pajot. Let's go to the players I'm selling. And I said, there it's two goalies that I'm either going to trade or I'm either going to out. Well, one of them I'm going to trade. The other one I'll probably just outright drop. Let's start with the one I'm dropping, and it's Jonathan Quick. And I will go on record saying I was extremely wrong about Jonathan Quick's ability to be a goalie in the NHL. I really thought he would bounce back. I've written about him in some other places as a player I would add off the waiver wire because that's where he probably is now. I've just had enough of him. He has a 2-8 record in 10 games. His .866 save percentage and .427 goals against average is absolute garbage. The Kings are in a rebuild. This team is probably going to sell off some pieces over the next couple of months. I don't expect Tyler Toffoli to be in a Kings jersey past the trade deadline. I don't think Ilya Kovalchuk is as well. Maybe they trade Dustin the Goat Brown as well. This team is going to be dismantled. Can they trade Jonathan Quick? That's going to be a challenge. Because after this season, he still has 3 years left on his deal that pays $5.8 million. And not many teams are going to pay $5.8 million for a backup goalie with those type of numbers. Not many. And even if you do trade him, he's going to another team where he's going to be the backup. And he's probably going to a team that doesn't need goalie help, so he's going to another terrible team. So there's not much that I like here. If you didn't listen to me, you maybe drafted him later on in drafts. And dropping him is just, you know, he's not doing the job. He's probably hurting your fantasy team more than anything. So even in leagues where goalies are a premium, he's not helping you. He's shooting you in the foot. Might as well stop doing that and just drop him and just look for something else. Even Jack Campbell, he's been better, but he's not, he is much better than Jonathan Quick, but he's probably not going to save your fantasy team either. So, and the idea here is that Jonathan Quick is probably going to lose starts to Jack Campbell. So this becomes a timeshare with one goalie being really, really bad. So to me, Jonathan Quick can just be dropped. If somebody wants to give you something for him, I would literally take anything. If somebody is willing to trade for him, I'm not trading for him. I've had enough. But if you believe that there's a turnaround here and you want to offer something, like, go ahead. But anything I can get, if I'm a Jonathan Quick owner, anything I can get for him, I take it. Even if I don't need it, I'll take it just because I don't want him. Because he, like I said, it's not a contract year for him. So, like, you know, the Kings are going to try to move him, but they might have to, you know, eat some salary or give a decent pick or something, and they're probably not in the market to do that. So, like, he could be on this team at least past this year's trade deadline. Maybe they move him over the summer, or he could just probably play out that entire contract in LA. But all that to say, I don't want anything to do with him. So I would drop him, and I wouldn't think twice about it. I don't think he turns this around. I don't think the Kings turn around. They don't look like a good hockey team. It's, like I said, it's a rebuild. Everybody there knows it. I want nothing to do with Jonathan Quick. The second goalie that I'm going to sell on, I'm not going to drop him, obviously not, but I will look to trade him. And that is Mikko Koskinen, right? The Edmonton Oilers superstar goalie, apparently. Because he has a 7-1-1 record in 9 starts. He's got a .216 goals against average and a .928 save percentage. And the Edmonton Oilers are on fire right now to start the season. Their first month and about a half of hockey has been really good. Okay. Koskinen is still in a timeshare with Mike Smith, who by the way, like, sit down for this one. Mike Smith has a 2.22 goals against average and a 9.26 save percentage. He doesn't have the record that Koskinen has, but again, records are, you know, it's different. But both these goalies are having a lot of success early on in the season. And Koskinen's a perfect sell high candidate here. If I could get somebody for him, like if I could go and get one of the bigger top name goalies for him, I'd probably do it. Or maybe go again. I would, if I'm a Koskinen owner, I would trade him again, one for one for Robert Leonard. That's a big gap here. I understand that. Okay. I've gone from Ben Bishop, you know, trading Koskinen for Leonard, or trading Bishop for Leonard. Like, it's, I know it's gone everywhere, but all this to say, yes, I'm really high on Leonard. I'm not as high on Koskinen. This is his second NHL season. Okay. His first season, he played 55 games. He had like a 2.93 goals against average and 9.06 save percentage. These are not elite numbers. Now he's having a really good season. And so are the Edmonton Oilers. But let's not kid ourselves, okay? Like, James Neal has been off to an exceptionally hot start. This team is led by McDavid and Dreisaitl. And if those two slow down for 1 second, this team is going to get ransacked. I don't think they have the bottom six depth to withstand, to put up this pace all year. And if Koskinen comes, he will come down to earth, by the way, okay? When he does, he's going to be about an average goalie. So I'm going to trade him now. I'm going to sell him right now to somebody who needs some goaltending help. Because again, Mike Smith is a good goalie. He handles the puck well. He does all those little things. But long term, I do think that he will win the job from Koskinen. Just because, again, Koskinen, he's 31 years old. Like, he's not a spring chicken here. He's played a lot of games in the KHL as well. I don't know if he can keep up this pace all year. And I'm also not sold on the Edmonton Oilers being good all year. Like, this team could crash halfway through the season, and now you have Koskinen. All your teams might be in a timeshare with Mike Smith, who might get most of the starts. So I'm not... He's off to a good start. If you drafted him, good for you. But I would move from him. And I would do it now while he's still hot. That's me. And it depends what you need. If you have the goaltending depth, you can move him for a forward. If you need another goalie, go out and target one with a, you know, on a better team, better long-term schedule, all those types of things come into play here. I'm not sold on Koskinen. I don't like his situation. And again, I don't know if the Oilers are for real. Maybe they are. Maybe this is the year the Oilers are a good team. They make the playoffs and, you know, they make a run at the Stanley Cup. I don't think that's true, but maybe. I'm just not 100% sold on it. And I'm not buying into it either. So I would look to trade Koskinen ASAP before he comes back down to earth. So those are the two goalies I would be selling on. The last player we're going to talk about is a player I'm going to hold on. Now, this is a player I'm not going to trade for. But if I own him, I'm also not going to trade him away. And I would take a stab at owning him if he's on the waiver wire, I would add him. But I'd only add him if, let's say, you have the extra roster spot, or if you're putting a player on IR. Like, I wouldn't necessarily drop somebody for him. And this player is Robbie Fabbri. Now, as we all know, Fabbri was traded from St. Louis to Detroit. And you're going from a Stanley Cup winning team to a young team that needs a lot of help. And the Red Wings are going to be garbage. And it's okay. But from a player perspective, for Robbie Fabbri, when I originally saw the trade, right, Fabbri for De La Rose one-on-one, my first thought is, well, Detroit obviously wins this trade, right? I mean, St. Louis got what they needed. St. Louis, Fabbri, I don't think was part of their plans, right, with the injury to Tarasenko being most likely season-ending, with Alexander Steen as well not being super healthy. They needed some bottom six depth, and De La Rose fits that bill. He can play, you know, third line, fourth line, center role, whatnot. Fabry needs to play in the top six to be effective. He can't be a bottom six forward. That's not what he is. He has the NHL ability to score goals. We know this. I think he scored 18 in his rookie year. Like, that's not bad. But he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. That'll always be Fabry's question. It's just his career so far has been derailed a little bit by injuries. And he's still so young. And he still has so much skill. And players with the ability to score goals, like, they don't lose. Your goal-scoring touch doesn't go away. But you can't score goals if you're injured. Okay? Which is hard. And Fabry's going to get an opportunity now on a regular basis to play in Detroit's top six. And whether that's playing on Larkin's top line or whether that's playing on the second line with Athanasiou and everything, like, that's, here's my ideal look at it. So the Red Wings top line has Bertuzzi, Mantha, and Larkin. And maybe Fabry will slide into there at some point, you know, specifically on the left side, maybe in Bertuzzi's spot, or who knows. But that second line right now has Athanasiou on it. And Athanasiou needs some support here, okay? He can't be playing with the plugs that he's currently playing with. So Fabry fits in perfectly on the wing there, okay? Athanasiou is playing the wing. He is a centerman. Valtteri Filppula brings absolutely nothing, okay? And maybe, you know, guys like Brandon Perlini, who also was acquired, maybe he can, you know, get a top six role or whatnot. In my mind, the ideal situation here is Athanasiou plays the middle, okay? Fabry plays whatever wing you want. And Filip Zadina at one point is going to get to the NHL, and he's going to have a top six role as well. And that gives you a very good top six. Like, Filppula doesn't bring anything. Fabry still has some things to prove, but it's a better situation for Detroit and for Fabry, because now Fabry's seeing second line minutes. He was on the top power play unit, which that as well is a nice spot for him. Like, again, it's all about the volume. Robbie Fabry's going to get the volume. He's going to get it. He's going to get a lot of it. The question is, can he stay healthy? And I'm not sold on that yet. He has 3 points in his two games with Detroit. Small sample, but he has shown that he can do something in Detroit. Can he hit 20 goals if he stays healthy? Absolutely. I think he can. I think Detroit's not a good team. They're going to be playing catch-up hockey a lot. So that bodes well for a team, for players who, you know, have offensive upside. They're going to be on the ice a lot. Right? The same reason why I was high on Anthony Mantha coming into the year is because he has an elite NHL shot. Detroit's going to suck and he's going to play a lot. And so far, that's worked out pretty well. I'm not saying Fabry's going to end up being Mantha here, but could he finish the year with 20-plus goals? Yeah. Yeah, he can. He just needs to stay healthy. He needs to play hockey. And he's going to get the opportunity in Detroit to play hockey. And he's widely available on the waiver wire. That's why I said, for right now, I'm not sold. If he's owned, I mean, fine. I'm not trading a significant piece for Robbie Fabry. If I own Fabry and somebody's willing to give me something for him, I'll listen depending on what the offer is. I'm not going to sell him either because, you know, is there a market for him right now in fantasy hockey? Probably not. Maybe somebody who wants to, again, overpay for him. So I'm just going to hold him. If I own him, I'm holding on. I want to see how this develops. If he's on the waiver wire, and like I said, if you're a Marner owner and he's going, you know, you've put Marner on your IR if you have one, then I'm going to add Robbie Fabry and I'm going to wait this. You know, maybe he doesn't get a permanent spot on my fantasy roster every single night that he's in action, right? I'm not taking out one of my capable wingers for Fabry. But I like where this can go, and I want to own him. I've already, you know, said this in my previous waiver wire piece. I want to own Robbie Fabry because the upside there's a lot, and I think that he can return value. For a guy that you pick up off the waiver wire, if he can give you 20 goals, you know, 30 assists is a stretch here, but if he can give you 20 goals, let's say 20 assists, if he can give you 40 points for a guy off the waiver wire who's already, you know, there's a month and a half of the season that's gone away. If he can put 40 points up in the next, you know, 55 games that he plays, that's not bad. That's not bad. I'd be okay with that. I'd buy into it. So I think, like I said, the upside for Fabbri is there. I like it a lot. I think that he deserves to be on a fan in deeper leagues. You know, he's probably maybe a fringe player. But I'd take the jump and I would hold on to him. If in 2 weeks nothing happens, or in 3 weeks he starts to balance out, or he gets, you know, he's playing in the bottom six, or he gets hurt, then you drop him, you move on to something else. It didn't cost you much. But for right now, I'm going to hold on to Robbie Fabbri, or at least I want a piece of him. And I want to see what this is going to get into. Because maybe I pick him off the waiver wire, he starts to heat up, and I can trade him for for a permanent NHL player somewhere. And I can turn, you know, trash into gold. I mean, not that Fabbri's trash, but I can turn one man's junk is another man's treasure kind of thing here. So I do like Robbie Fabbri. I'm not 100% sold on him, but I'm going to hold on to him. And yeah, those are my six players in my buy, sell, and hold right now in fantasy hockey. And that, ladies and gentlemen, completes the podcast for today. As always, Kate, thank you for listening. I really enjoy the people who tell me that they listen and they enjoy the podcast. Thank you. You can continue. You can follow the podcast directly on Twitter at Slapshot Podcast. Okay. You can follow me on Twitter at FuzzyChris91. Please subscribe and rate to the podcast. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on Stitcher. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. It's on Podbean as well. It's on YouTube. If you have YouTube Premium or you listen to your music, or if you like to listen to podcasts on YouTube, it's on YouTube as well. Make sure you can find it as well at the Fantasy Fix. You can find it at the Fantasy Alarm as well in the podcast section. Yes, you can. So there's a whole bunch of places that you can subscribe and listen to Slapshot Podcasts. And again, thank you to everybody who does. I really enjoy doing this. I know I don't do it, right? I'm still trying to get my schedule in sync where I can do it systematically once a week. I'm hoping I'll get that set up maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks, but like I love doing this with everybody. I'm extremely happy that everybody loves to listen to the podcast. If you don't like it, that's fine. You can tell me you hate it. It's okay. If you like it, you know, thanks again. But subscribe, rate to the podcast, follow the podcast on Twitter. If you have something that you'd like me to talk about, I mean, send me a tweet at Slapshot Podcast. Tweet me directly. Tell me something you want to hear and, you know, we'll talk about it. Or if you have maybe, I don't know, whatever it might be, just let me know. I have no problem engaging with it. If you have fantasy hockey questions, I know some people tweet at me with their fantasy hockey questions, send them my way at FuzzyChris91. I'll do my best to answer them when I can and I'll give you the best advice that I possibly can. I want you to win your league. So, you know, right now in my fantasy hockey league, it's not going well, but it's a long year, ladies and gentlemen. Long year. So don't be discouraged by your slow start. We got time to turn this boat around, okay? If you're like me and you're struggling, don't worry about it. But again, thank you to everybody who listens to it. Again, thank you to the brave women of the armed forces. Like I said, today's November 11th. Take the time to just talk to a veteran, thank them for what they've done. And honestly, don't do it just today. Do it anytime you cross one. You know, thank them for their service. Thank them for what they do. It's because of them that I get to do what I do. It's because of them that you get to do what you do. And again, man, you guys are as Canadian as I am. And thank you for what you do. Hopefully I will be back next week so we can talk a little bit more. Until then, keep dominating your leagues. And yeah, keep doing that hockey. Okay? Bye.